Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, everyone. It is the Machen Page App podcast, the very first, the inaugural, if you will. 10,000 subscribers. This could be terrible. This could be terrible. You subscribe. No. Thanks, to everyone who has subscribed.
I'm going to make it terrible.
Well, you know, without trying. Hang on, trying or not trying?
I think it's trying, because normally I don't try, so this time I'm going to try and make it terrible.
Maybe that's what we've been missing all these years. Maybe that's the secret sauce into making it really good, is if you actually try to make it terrible, maybe it like goes back around the other way, because I would say that brilliance and absolute catastrophe are actually very close on the circle, but you'd have to go all the way around to it to achieve one of the other.
So
maybe
backwards. This is it.
Yeah. Well, if you've watched Ready Player One,
no.
Then you'll get that reference. Sadly not. Right, so welcome everyone. Yes, thank you very much for everyone who subscribed. We're going to be talking football. We're going to be talking movies. We're
going
to be talking popular culture. We're going to be talking a lot of Biff.
Buffy's top of the list. I think it's still popular, right?
The remaking that, you know?
No. Is Sarah Michelle Gellar in it?
No.
Then it's going to be
because it's not a remake. She's also nearly 50 years old.
And fit.
Yeah, true.
Very, very.
We're going to be handing out some incredible... we're going to be the agony uncles for you later on as well, because look, we've been through the mill. We've been through life.
I'll be the agony aunt.
Okay, that's fine. Whatever you need to be.
Oh, I will be.
And we're going to get into some stuff from our you know, lives, past, present and future and stuff in the middle as well. From next week onwards, if you want to get involved, you want to comment below. Anything you want us to talk about, we pretty much will do. It's all fair game at this point.
Yeah, we started the channel, 20 days ago with no idea of the content that we're going to put up. So if you guys could give us some ideas for content, we're going to ask for it right now.
Yeah, that'll be absolutely splendid. Thank you very much. Chris, we're going to begin with what we're calling the Purge. We're hoping it'll be a weekly feature of... something that has been doing your head in beyond means over the last 7 days, or because this is the very first one, something that might have been doing your head in for your entire life.
My eyes.
Your eyes.
My eyes.
Your
they
eyes
are
have
doing,
been doing
my
your head.
Fucking head in, Paul.
Why?
Because they're shit.
They aren't great.
They're shit, to be honest with
you.
Very,
you've got pretty eyes, Chris.
Do you think
pretty
so?
Blue eyes.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Right.
Yeah, I think so. I can't see them, though, Paul, because my eyes are shit, first and foremost. They're just doing my head in. They're crap. First of all, I need glasses, which is just a shit thing, really, isn't it? And then now I don't even suit not wearing glasses, which is just shit in and of itself.
It's very odd that, because I've known you long before you became a bespectacled gentleman, and you do now look odd without them.
I look weird. I can't even look at myself. Firstly, I can't see myself in the fucking mirror. And secondly, when I can, I look ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I don't want to look ridiculous with no glasses on. I want to look like Chris Pajak, and I don't look like Chris Pajak anymore.
There's something that's exacerbated this in this last week.
Yeah, my nose.
Your nose. You're not a fan of your nose either.
I hate my fucking nose. It's fucking shit. I can't breathe.
It's quite
breathe.
A pretty nose.
I know that, but it's not useful. It's not functional.
Cosmetically.
I can't breathe. Yeah. It's symmetrical. I like symmetry. Symmetry's fine. But I can't breathe through it. And that's what it's there for.
Mm.
Not for fucking clogging up with snot that occasionally just comes out when I'm talking.
Eases off. No, you've been dealing with
hay fever. I've developed hay fever.
You're
36 years old.
I've lived with hay fever for all my life, so I'm not being funny. There's two types of people in this world. They're the kind of people who take no comfort in people sharing things that have happened to them, sharing their misfortune, and they're the type of people who absolutely buzz off it, and I buzz off people having to live in the same areas of discomfort and pain that I do. So I wouldn't genuinely wish it on someone, but also when someone tells me I've got hay fever, I'm like, great shit, isn't it?
It's fucking terrible, Paul, yeah. To be honest. I mean, I thought I'd passed that. I thought, you know, at 17 I'm thinking I'm never getting hay fever. Age 36 I now can't see and can't breathe. Brilliant. It's been 3 weeks. You know what it is? Someone or something is punishing me for having a fantastic week about 6 weeks ago. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, right? But calmer. That's what it is.
Yeah. You've had all your fun. You've had your year's fun. Mate, in one hit.
I went to see the Hold Steady and the Saturday night gig. I went to see them release a film. We did a Q&A with the band. I got to talk to the lead guitarist outside for half an hour and peck his head in, which was fantastic because it was blathered. And then I went to see them in a small venue with about 350 people and I partied my heart out all weekend. I had about 6 McDonald's. It was fantastic. It was the perfect weekend.
Yeah.
And then I get to Monday, get home for a few hours. Tuesday, we're off to Bayern Munich. I drink too much. And then after, you know, not drink on the day of the game because I was in a bad, bad way. But then we won in Bayern Munich. And I came back. And since then, my life's been shit.
Catastrophic.
Honestly, came back. Robin, my eldest daughter, ill.
That you've dealt with 2 bouts of chicken pox, yeah. And you've had 6 colds in that time.
And hay fever. And the only thing that's keeping me alive is the bloody Reds. It's the only thing. I hate you. I hate Tom. I hate everything that I'm doing at life. I can't breathe and I can't see what I'm going through.
2 things. It's been gaining subscribers on a channel with no content.
Yes.
And Liverpool being mustard. Yeah, absolutely. Right, so you're done? Feel better?
Well, there are plenty.
We still can't breathe out your nose.
Other things that I could talk about, like my jeans, they're doing my head in. I bought a new pair of jeans. I spent a little bit of money. I got some 501s from the outlet store because, you know, I'm still not in the Levi's store and stuff. I had a little go in the swings and slides while I was there. I didn't. They've gone. I was gutted. And now these new jeans are so uncomfortable. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And my trainers aren't as white as they used to be, and that's annoying me.
Okay, great. I've gone for my page this week. Question marks.
Wow.
And they're equally similar, but obviously straighter brothers, the exclamation point as well.
I love the exclamation point.
And the English language. No, do you want me to explain why? It's bullshit, and it's a fundamental flaw of how the English language is constructed. The Spanish have got it spot on. I never realised this.
One before upside down, one after the way
around. Right, my son is learning how to read, and he can do it quite now. He's 7 years old, so I've had to go through this, and it's basically tortuous. It's, you know, having to go like... it's cat, mate. It's cat.
Robin's 4, so she goes... Okay, what's it spell? Dog.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. But this is how you read a sentence. You read the first word, then the second word, and blah, blah, blah. And then you get to the end of the sentence and you discover that it was a question all along.
It's good, so you can't intonate.
So you can't, and this is why you've got fucking dickheads everywhere who upspeak. And I'm one of them, because, you know, it's been conditioned. It's maddening. It is basically another example of the dumbing down of our society. We're all becoming fucking morons. And the fact is, and you can argue, well, why can't you see there's a question mark at the start of the sentence? I know, because we're all becoming fucking morons. But bang at the start, bang, the Spanish have got it spot on. It's like a giant warning sign that says, here in lies a question. So prepare yourself to deliver this like a question. And you can, because it's bookended splendidly. If you don't know, it's upside down at the start, and it's the way we would put it at the end. So, you know, so like shouting, for example, because the question's fine because you can upspeak. But what if you want to deliver something with an this is why people type in caps locks, by the way, dumbing down a society. You don't realise you're meant to be exclaiming till the end, so it could be. And John fell down the stairs! You know,
like it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, apologies. Stupid. It's been doing so
why has it been doing your head in?
Because,
what have you been reading?
Because I've been going
in?
Through reading school books with my son and him not knowing what it's a question, not realising it's a question. So he's trying to, and so you get everything in this monotone voice of like the dog went down the street, and it's like, mate, it's a question.
That wasn't a question.
You know what I mean? Explanation.
But if you'd put it at the beginning, you'd have known that that wasn't a question.
Yes, yes, that'll do. Thanks, Chris. Took me out of that one massively. Yeah, so that's been doing me, Eddie. I think we need to fundamentally change the English language. Now, the Brexiteers are not going to be happy with that.
No.
Imagine trying to tell them. I mean, and let's be honest, I'm not saying every Brexiteer, but I'm saying, you know, the ones that follow Tommy Robinson could probably do with something that makes language a little easier for them, if we're being perfectly honest.
I mean, yes, but also just let's just get rid of Velcro.
Yeah, Velcro and 24-hour supermarkets.
Exactly. Brilliant.
Because Darwinism is being hampered by convenience.
Convenience and Velcro.
Yeah.
They die if they had to tie their shoelaces up because they're too stupid to do it and they trip over and fall off a cliff or something or fall into a big Tesco.
Or at least like a... To say, you know, I'm up for convenience when it comes to not having to bend over and tie your kid's shoelaces for the first 4 years of their life every 30 seconds. No problem with Velcro.
I'm surprised we even got here as a society, to be honest.
I know. I mean, you look at these animals that come out and they start running away from
giraffes.
Like
giraffes just get out and start walking straight away. We have to carry them around for 2 years with freaking bottles.
Absolutely pathetic. We're a pathetic species.
And really, rusks.
Well, have you seen now? We're getting out of footy in a bit, by the way, because Man United were crap in the Champions League and Axel Boss. Those ones used to have, which were like a stick of rusk with a piece of basically string on the end so you could hold on to them. They stopped making these because basically kids were just fucking swallowing them whole and dying. Yeah, it's fine.
I'm getting confused with tampons.
Go ahead. Sure. Right, Chris, moving on. We're going to talk about some things that have happened in the world this week. We're going to start with football. I want to talk about the Champions League. I want to talk not about Liverpool, because we talk about Liverpool all the time, and there's plenty of channels for us to talk about that. I want to talk about Man United.
Cool.
Because I can't help but be this way, because I am genetically inclined to have a problem with people from Manchester. I know plenty of people who are from Manchester are sound, by the way, but I can't help it. I get Schadenfreude from seeing misery happening from down the M62. The Ollie's at the wheel stuff, because I said as soon as he came in, I was like, brilliant. And here's hoping he's amazing. He has this great spell, and then like a landslide of optimism sends him into the job. Exactly what happened with us with Kenny Dalglish. And then they find out that he's not really up for the task. And then he's basically got the full-time job. They gave him the contract, and he's been crap since.
Has he lost 5-7 since?
Apparently so. I mean, again, I don't follow them vociferously in any way, shape or form. What I did do was watch. I turned on the Barcelona Man United match at the point at which Barcelona had just scored the first goal, and it was glorious watching from then on, because Leo Messi's amazing, obviously. It doesn't need you don't need the shock. There you go, there's the values of this new podcast. I see weaknesses in Barcelona, but I see more weaknesses in Manchester United. They just look like a bunch of lads who've been told, yeah, go out and play your own game. Nah, doesn't work. Barcelona are really good at football.
Yeah, I mean, I actually chose to watch the Juve Ajax game, if anyone follows me on Twitter, so they'll know that I watched that, but I've obviously watched the highlights and stuff of the Man United game, and they looked like they come out and they started really well, to be honest, and I think that's what you're talking about. Barcelona have got that little bit of a soft centre, haven't they? But obviously going forwards, they've got one man who can turn a game when he decides to turn a game, and, you know, I felt like I would never learn anything from watching that game, other than stuff that I already know, which is don't back on Manchester United to do you any favours in the title running.
Yeah.
And you can back on Lionel Messi being amazing and scoring goals.
I haven't seen, I realised that I just haven't watched Barcelona in ages, so I had no concept. I didn't know a couple of the players, which was fascinating. Like Arthur, literally never heard of him, so really? It was quite interesting to watch him do his thing, and seeing Coutinho, obviously scored an absolute belter. As Phil Coutinho does. It's interesting to see Luis Suarez. Luis Suarez looks very much like a man who spent far too much time in his life being Luis Suarez. He looks like a man who, you know, if you play football, if you live life like Suarez, eventually it's just going to start to hurt, and you're going to start to become a bit creaky. And look, you know, without risking to jinx it or whatever, phenomenal players, but and obviously Messi's something else, but yeah.
The Suarez thing's interesting, because I've watched Barcelona probably 5 or 6 times so far this season, and I would say in probably 4 or 5 of those games he hasn't scored, and he hasn't been great, as it were. But what he does do is something that we applaud Firmino for, and that's creating space for others and occupying defenders and stuff. So even on his bad days when he doesn't score, you know, the rest of the attack looks absolutely brilliant for him. So he's a danger just in and of that. And then you look at it and you think, the other games that I've seen, he's still a finisher. And that's the thing. But you're exactly right. He is getting on a little bit now. He's still got the skill set. He just probably doesn't affect games as often, but that is only talking from 5 or 6 games in this season.
The fascinating stuff with flipping it back to Man United is, which I love, because it's just, it's delicious, and it's just because I've had to live with 30 years of Man United being the best club in the country and at times the world, when Liverpool have been, you know, nowhere near it, is watching the similarities between what I've just lived as a Liverpool fan and watching them go through similar things. And I love that whole Mourinho basically saying, you know, we need better players. We need investment. This squad needs a retrofit and all that. And everyone goes, shut up, Mourinho. You're just boring and you've had money and you've wasted it. Not saying it's wrong, by the way. And then Solskjaer basically gets beat by Barcelona and is like, yeah, the squad needs loads of investment. And what, because it happens every single time. And the only time I've not seen anyone do that, go mad about that, is Klopp, who obviously knew that Liverpool needed a massive retrofit, but just came in and just told everyone they were boss and built it up, and then slowly changed it. I am fascinated to see what happens with United, because they'll still have the money to do it. They'll have the money to rebuild. It's when things aren't going right at a football club, you start to realise that everything's not right. So I've seen people talking about the Glazers all of a sudden. Where did that go, by the way? Man United fans who are watching, let us know. Where did all the criticisms go, because you had the trophies.
Criticisms go away.
Well, true. You had the scarf protests, you know, and all that kind of stuff, when they all broke out the Harry Potter scarves for a year. And then that vanished. You don't see that. You don't see that anymore.
When you bring in managers who are on big contracts like Jose Mourinho, and you bring in players who are on big contracts like Paul Pogba, like Alexis Sanchez and stuff like that, then the question marks start to go away, because the fans are getting what they perceive as value for money from it.
Yeah.
And what happens is a couple of trophies and it's all gone. Now, a couple of bad results and it all comes back to the forefront, and it will be very much spotlight on Manchester United this summer. My thing with Man U always was, from when Solskjaer came in, was will he be good at spending money? And that's the thing. And, you know, you look at the management team that he's put around him. I think it was a masterstroke bringing Phelan back from the cold and from what he was doing. Was he? I don't remember where he was. But that's brilliant. But he's been away from that as well. And, you know, he's never actually had the purse strings himself. He was a very good number two for Ferguson. Carrick's obviously part of that Manchester United culture. Brilliant. Never spent money. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, not spent money. Mm-hmm. So are Manchester United going to be able to trust Solskjaer with those purse strings this summer? That's the question mark. Or are they going to try and save their money a little bit? Well,
it's Woodward's the problem. Because he's the guy who's got the hands on the purse strings. He's the one who's making the signings. He's just playing footy manager, isn't he?
But that's the issue, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, you can bring a guy in like Klopp who's going to buy his players regardless of price, or you can bring a guy, or you can put Woodward in charge, who's going to go for what he perceives to the guaranteed wins. And those guaranteed wins haven't been paying off for Manchester United over the last couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very, very interesting to see. And I can't help but get a very vague sense of enjoyment from it, because I've had to live with it for far too long. And it's fascinating. I've got a Man United fan uncle, and he's just becoming like we were, you know, picking up on all the little perceived injustices of Liverpool, getting dodgy like goals and decisions not going our way. We used to do that. I've just lived the best part of 3 decades doing that with United. So yeah, like it's defo our turn. Ajax though, Chris.
Oh
my God! There's the one doing the round on social media of that little like build up play from the back, which is hilarious in one respect because it's PR Twitter. Is there's one version of it where it cuts off just before they give the ball away. But it's Pro Evo FIFA one touch slalom passing down the pitch. And you were saying like Juve were probably the better team for a spell, but then Ajax just turned it on.
Yeah, I thought Juve were doing what they needed to do. I thought it was a professional style performance. You know, they obviously get a goal from a corner with Ronaldo from a header and stuff, and they were comfortable in the game. But every time that, you know, we were texting last night, every time that Ajax got the ball, they did look dangerous. They just didn't get enough of the ball. But the second half, that completely changed. Ajax just took the game by the scruff of the neck, and it was like those young lads just decided, it's like, yeah, I think that's all they've got, you know. Yeah. I think that's all Juve have got. And if we just put our foot on the ball and start playing football, it was brilliant. And it reminded me a lot of Liverpool from last season, a lot of Liverpool from this season is, you know, a lot of those brilliant passing moves broke down.
Mm-hmm.
But they were centimetres away from being absolutely perfect. Yeah. And you'd only need one of them to go right, and all of a sudden you're 1-0 up. And the way that they went in there, quieting the crowd, took Ronaldo out of the game. You know, Allegri is subbing Dybala, you know, and bringing him off. And early on, I can't remember if it was half-time or early second half and stuff. They did everything perfectly, and then they capitalised on it. They're such an exciting team to watch. And, you know, I've not watched a lot of Ajax this season. In fact, that's the first 90 minutes I've watched, so I might be wrong on my on what I thought from Ajax. But everyone was talking in our WhatsApp group about De Ligt and stuff like that, or De Ligt, or however you say it. And he's clearly fantastic. He scores an unbelievable header where he beats two Juve men to the ball. Davy Blind was the player that I was really impressed with at the back. So it's funny, isn't it, that I've heard all season long, and I went into that game thinking, I really can't wait to watch De Ligt. I can't wait. And for the first half, I was looking at going, that Davy Blind looks fucking bad. I bet you Man United could do with him. Yeah, you know what I mean? But he was brilliant and shown as absolutely fantastic in the middle of the park. He just got so many exciting players.
It's fascinating, though, because the point was made is that Man United and Ajax were the Europa League finalists. Man United won on that day, and we all lamented it because we'd had Sevilla, who were the perennial Europa League winners the year before, who'd just been there and done it and knew it inside and out. And Man United basically got almost a bye at that time because the Ajax team were too young and too raw and just didn't have enough of what it took. And you look at the progression now, you know, Ajax going into a Champions League semi-finals and Man United looking like they're just nowhere near. They look like a team, if they were in the Europa League, you'd be like, okay, yeah, they'd be too good for, they're too good for the Europa League.
Maybe, but
they're not good enough to be at that stage of the Champions League. Fascinating. Oh,
and stuff. Again, you know, you learn from those things, don't you? You know, getting beaten in a Europa League final, Liverpool learn from that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Ajax have learned from that, and their squad's got better and progressed. And Manchester United, at best, has treaded water.
Yeah.
Or treaded water even.
What else do you want to talk about?
Game of Thrones, Paul.
Ooh.
I'd love to talk a little bit about Game of Thrones.
I'm more than happy to talk about Game of Thrones. I managed to find the time in my life to watch it because
it is a show that you do that for.
You made this absolute point is that we live in a culture now of, oh, whatever. You know, I'll either find time and you'll binge watch 12 episodes or something back to back and not sleep. But a lot of the time, well, I can dip in and out of things. Game of Thrones is one of the few, like, appointments of view. If you don't watch that in the first day,
it's your own fault.
You're ruining it for yourself. Like.
Yeah, mate, what an episode. Like, it was like, because the series is so big and vast and long now as well, that they have so many little things to tie up, don't they? And just getting everybody back together and getting them all to Winterfell, and it just sparks something. It's like, oh, I remember that. Oh, wow, okay. And then they end it with
spoilers,
Lannister.
Spoilers, just spoilers.
Yeah, fine.
Spoilers. No,
it's their spoilers. It's literally their own fault. And they end it with Lannister and looking at Bran, and you're looking at it, you're going, that's how the whole thing started.
The thing that gets me about the start of every series, though, Game of Thrones, is that I've never rewatched an episode. So I always go into the series, and I spend two episodes trying to work out what the fuck everyone is. And they say a name, and I'm like, no idea who that is. No idea whatsoever. And moreover, my wife's even worse. So I'm very much of the opinion that a film or a TV show will give you the tools with which to understand what's going on if you just pay attention for long enough. Whereas if you're trying to figure it out yourself, but also someone's asking you questions of what's happening,
yeah,
it's maddening. It's absolutely maddening. I mean, and to be fair, I have it on both ends because I have it whenever I take my son to see a movie. What's happening? Why is this happening? Just shut up and let me work it out and I'll explain it to you after the fact. But I spend the first half an hour of that episode going, the dragons... The dragon got killed. What happened to the dragon? No, the dragon got killed beyond the wall, and it's come back as like a zombie dragon or something. Shh. What about him? Well, who are they? Well, he's the, oh my god, the Iron Islands. He's like a family member, and he's the heir to them. And he basically fucked them up. He fucked up the one who had his cock chopped off, and his sister who he had sex with. He come in and he battered them, and now he's why are they going to South? From what I can gather, Jamie Lannister is fell out with Cersei, and that's why he's. And that's why, so he's sending her to try and kill him.
Just watch the show and keep up, will you?
Let's ask questions at the end.
We rewatched the last series like a week ago and made sure that we were up to date to stop all this from happening, because it is too easy for that you fall into. It's too big, it's too vast, there's too much going on. You can't be expected to remember absolutely everything. Can we talk a little bit about predictions here, by the way?
Yes. How do you feel that the last scene of the series, of the whole of Game of Thrones, who's there, what's happening?
Oh my days. I wasn't predicting that. Who's there, what's happening? I think I've got about 11 of the main characters die.
Yeah.
I think, to be honest, it all starts again. I think there's a child between Daenerys and Jon.
Yeah.
Who's smuggled out of Westeros.
Ooh.
And then the whole thing repeats.
Okay. I think everybody dies. Everybody. Everybody that you know and love dies. And probably, if there's any remaining gobshites, one of them probably ends up boss as a result of it. Because that is what we've now been conditioned. This is the new school torture porn TV. The Walking Dead is exactly the fucking same, which is why I've stopped watching it. Because you can't relax. Now, to its credit, Game of Thrones, it sets up the most awful of awful human beings, and by and large, they get the comeuppance, which means that, and it depends whether your view on Cersei, because Cersei's got a very Thanos-like quality that you could probably, if you see it from her perspective, you probably think she's actually, she doesn't deserve comeuppance, she's just doing a reasonable thing. She needs to get the most horrible of horrible comeuppances at the end, probably. But I think a Charge of the Light Brigade style situation where everyone that you've come to like is just brutally, brutally murdered in front of your eyes. No series that's this good ever ends in a satisfactory manner.
It can't, because there's too many different plots and there's too many different things to wrap up. So there's going to be loads of stuff that probably hasn't been wrapped up. There's going to be loads of questions at the end. But one of the things that I think is going to be revealed over the next few episodes is that the Night King was a Targaryen.
Okay.
Because he rides a dragon. It's like as simple as that. And did you see the way that lad was set on fire? And it looked a bit like a spider, which also looks like the Targaryen sigil or whatever it is. So there's that. The fact that he's riding a fucking dragon. I think he's a Targaryen.
Ooh. Let us know.
It's always like the three-headed dragon and that, isn't there? So there's Jon, there's Daenerys, and there's the Night King.
Okay.
Three Targaryens.
I'm down for that.
So everyone dies, but there's a baby smuggled out of Westeros.
Okay. Wicked. I'm bang up for a bit of baby smuggling. What did you make of the Star Wars trailer?
Oh my god. I didn't like it as much as that fella floating around Twitter.
Yeah.
But I love the Star Wars trailer.
I want to talk about this because I'll be honest, I watched the video and it went a bit viral, didn't it? Because there was a girl who was basically saying,
Did you read the comments to that?
Yeah. Well, I love this. So there's a girl, let's see if we can put it up. There's a girl who basically had a go at this fella and saying it's unveiled a new generation of undateable men. Brilliant. And I do think the people who do those trailer reactions are a bit weird. I actually, his one, I found quite endearing because it's not like I see them and it's going, and they're just so fake. They're so put on. It's like people who do FIFA videos and they know that you need to shout and scream because that's what people give a shit about. So it's just so, you see right through it. That lad was genuinely, he was genuinely crying at watching the start. And if someone gets that emotional about something, I say fair fucks to you.
Let them enjoy it.
Yeah. If you're that passionate about something, I think that, go and carry on existing in your own little world. I don't need you in my life. But fair play to you. Anyone who loves something that much should be allowed to enjoy that stuff as much as they want to. But the people skating it, I just think,
wasn't that many people skating it, which was great from what I saw. Basically, that girl just got lambasted by everybody for being like, listen, that's brilliant. And he got so many extra followers off the back of it that genuinely want to see his reactions and stuff. It's great when the internet stands up to something like that and, everyone groups together and is nice.
Yeah.
For a change, it's so few and far between, isn't it?
The only other thing that was great from the internet reactions to this that I saw, did you see the Seth Rogen edit?
No.
So someone's replaced the Emperor laugh with the Seth Rogen laugh at the end, and Seth Rogen's actually tweeted about saying, made up to be involved in this project. It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Good. Star Wars predictions?
Star Wars predictions. Leia is Rey's mum.
Yeah.
Just from the shot where they're hugging, the hair's made up in exactly the same way and stuff like that. So I think that's a little bit of a character. I don't know whether it's there to mislead you or not, but it certainly felt like to me that is going to be one of the reveals.
Yeah, I've got to, I just
and hope. It is Palpatine.
Sure. I hope.
Parachute.
What?
Get a parachute.
What? Oh, in Paris, is that why he fell down the thing and survived? Okay, cool.
Yes.
Or just the force.
Yeah.
Maybe the force.
He'll maybe just uses the force, you know. Go with your faculties. He basically got thrown down. You know, it wasn't like he was shot or had his head cut off or whatever. I mean, to be fair, which has not stopped many people in the Star Wars universe, but yeah, fine. Yeah, why not? I love the fact that he's just been living.
Just low tech.
Living in a hole.
I just love the low tech parachutes idea. Yeah. It's just like, yeah, of course I'm walking around in a parachute.
Maybe just,
it's very dangerous where I fight.
Just billowed his cloak.
Yeah, there you go. And just made it his way to the bottom like a bat.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's just been stuck. He's a bit old, isn't he? He's been stuck down there at the bottom.
I love the fact that the actor was tweeting about it as well. Like, that's brilliant. Like. Yeah,
absolutely. I'm glad J.J. Abrams is back on board on this. And I just wonder whether he can undo. Because there's loads of people, I'm not getting into it, there's loads of people who love that last film. It's fucking terrible, by the way. It's fucking terrible. But the Rian Johnson basically just did. Red Letter Media's done a great thing about this, and it's about like defying expectations deliberately. And they do a video where it's Rian Johnson and he's having a dinner and he goes to pour his glass of wine and he just pours it on the table. You know, it's like, there you go. You didn't expect that, did you? Prick. I wonder how much of that stuff that he wrote. He just basically went big cross through all the really interesting stuff from The Force Awakens. I hope JJ's gone, okay, well, maybe that was just a mislead. You know, like the whole your parents are no one and everyone's, oh, that's good because it means that anyone can be a Jedi. Yeah, but that's also a bit shit. You know, yes, sure, you can still have a world where anyone can be a Jedi. That's fine, but it's the it's meant to be the Skywalker saga. Let it have something. Why rob us of that? You know what I mean? They robbed us of Luke Skywalker having a really good bit for no reason other than, oh, well, just let's set it up for that. And I think the reason of this is because when you watch them chronologically, well, they kill Obi-Wan. Whereas we watch them, the original trilogy, and then we go, oh, look, we get to see a bit of, I never really thought about. If you watch them from the first one, Obi-Wan dying would be a bit like losing Luke is for our generation. But fuck that. You don't have to follow that, you morons. Just let us have it. There's nothing wrong with him. I can't. It makes me blood boil. This film's going to be shit, by the way. It's going to be utterly shit. And everyone's going to be angry forever and ever because you can't. I mean, we're all going to realise that there's one and a half good Star Wars films, and it's literally Empire Strikes Back, and although it's my favourite, Jedi, and we can just watch them forever and ever and ever.
Which is absolutely fine.
Absolutely fine. PlayStation 5 announcement.
This is exciting stuff. It's interesting for me because I'm not like a massive gamer, but I do follow the industry of it all, and obviously I've got a Nintendo Switch and I'm banging into that. Like, in fact, I was playing that this morning. Nice. Well, the kids were, I don't know what they were doing, to be honest, but it's probably my bad. If I wasn't playing the Switch, I'd probably know what they were doing.
You'd also got in the office very early this morning as well.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a lot. So you fitted in a lot. I've been up since half five, Paul. Oh, my God.
We sent the kids to bed early last night, which is great, and you really enjoy the night. So they went to bed at, like, I think we got them into bed at 7 o'clock, and we just left them. We didn't leave the house.
Yeah, you know, the McCanns.
We went downstairs. But that obviously then you forget that's going to backfire at some point.
Yeah, there's a Jerry Seinfeld line about day guy and night guy, and how night guy basically just delivering his power to fuck day guy.
And day guy hates night guy.
Yeah, exactly. And there's nothing day guy can do to stop night guy doing this, apart from maybe losing a job. And so he's got no money to go and spend, but then has a knock on it. So yeah, night Chris has had a great time with an extra couple of hours to play and live.
Completely fucked day Chris up.
What were we talking about?
PlayStation 5.
Yeah. So it looks to me like PlayStation are going with a tried and trusted method here, of that most people just want a console that you can play computer games on, spend about 50, 60 quid on, with better specs than previous generations.
50, 60 on a game.
On a game, right. And then keep the console relatively affordable and they'll win the generation like that. Whereas it looks like Microsoft have gone for this, we are going to give you an all-encompassing system that doesn't really exist anywhere.
Yeah.
But you can play the games on your phone, on your iPad, on your desktop, on the Xbox One and stuff, and Switch have just avoided it all again.
You know what's doing my head in? The Nintendo Switch has ruined gaming for me because it's amazing. And it annoys me that I can't play my PlayStation games on the Switch. So I wanted, I'm banging to Resi 2 and I want to play, I want to be able to take Resident Evil on my Switch and take it out because I've got Resident Evil Revelations on there just to keep me ticking over, and I've got really good games that I love on the Switch, but the games that I really, really, really want to play are all on PlayStation, and I've got my Vita and you can remote play, but you're only on your Wi-Fi network and it's spit spotty and it's only got the shoulder one set of shoulder buttons, etc., etc. I really hoped the PlayStation were going to follow suit with just, maybe they will, maybe they'll spring an announcement of an updated handheld or whatever.
At the moment, like,
the one thing I did, I don't know if anyone else did this, I saw the announcement and the list of things that it does, the first thing that I googled off the back, I don't know if you did anything like this, what is ray tracing? Yeah, because that was ray tracing, just another way of rendering light. Great, thanks, everyone's dead excited about it, not asked. My problem with new console generations is it's fucking bullshit. It's utter bullshit because there's no difference. The graphics are better. Honestly, are they? Yeah, I mean, yes. No, but realistically, from PlayStation 3 up to modern times now, so Xbox 360 to Xbox One, they're a bit sharper and a bit crisper, but they're not like... It's not. They still don't look human. You know what I mean? They still look impressive, but they don't look human. We're not talking the jump from the SNES to the PS1 kind of things here. So no, I need impressing.
Who do you think is going to win the next generation?
It's stupid to bet against Sony because they keep doing it, Microsoft was supposed to kill Sony off. But as soon as they launched the Xbox, and it never happened, they totally fucked it up with the launch of the Xbox One by doing this, permanently online stuff and the copy protection and all that kind of stuff. Like, and people just didn't buy into it. I think people will buy into it now because you're already getting it. I mean, God, you play Destiny and you've got to be online to play Destiny. You know what I mean?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Albeit on PlayStation, people are used to cloud-based gaming. So I think it will probably go that way, but fine. That's the thing. If Xbox are able to do, if you can take your AAA game and if you can take Titanfall 3 or whatever they're up to, and you can take it on the bus, and then you can go and play it at home, then they'll win because you're
that's all you need.
Well, mobile's the future. Mobile is being tethered to something. I've got my Skybox and my PS Pro in my living room, and I don't really sit in there anymore. Because I'll play on the Switch, or I might have Sky Go on the telly in the kitchen or whatever, or I'll watch things on my phone and I'll watch YouTube. That world of being locked in a room and doing something, not necessarily for younger, for necessarily
that's the,
for people
that's the
at
point.
Home.
That's the difference, isn't it? Because you're a dad who has to grab gaming where they can. And a young lad, I remember thinking back to when we were growing up and stuff, and we'd just sit and play Footy Manager for hours on end. And, you know, you'd be playing through the night and watching the Copa America on the telly in your bedroom at the same time. Being tethered isn't too much of an issue from age 15 to age 19, because that's all you're going to be. You're always just going to be in your room for 5 days a week or whatever and live for the weekends and stuff. But when you get a little bit older, like we are, and when you have got a family and stuff, I think it's really clever what the Switch has done, is because they've made it so that you can pick it up for 10 minutes and play a game and put it down, whereas there are some games still on the PlayStation where you just need to bank off 2 hours or an hour of something, whereas like...
Bank off, sorry.
It's better than wanking off. then
it's very much not.
Then you look at it and you go, well, like even like Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild and stuff like that, it's like those small sort of temples... It's all made so that you don't have to get into a temple like on the N64 and spend 45 minutes trying to find your way through there.
Yeah.
You got a 10-minute period, something like that. It's just so clever. They've thought about the layers of it and how you're going to take these games on your way and being able to just put it down and pick it up again and start again 2 minutes at a time. It's absolutely genius.
Yeah.
And did you see the bar chart like of the spend in the Premier League?
No.
You did.
Oh, the ongoing one.
Yeah, the ongoing one. Have you seen the Console Wars one?
No.
It's fascinating. Nintendo have killed it all the time.
Yeah.
You know, Sony are relatively new guys in this. So you said a couple of minutes ago, and you're right to say it, you know, Sony, you wouldn't bet against Sony. You absolutely shouldn't be betting against Nintendo.
Oh, God, no.
I mean, because Nintendo, they've sold more hardware than any other company.
The thing about Nintendo, they only stopped support for the NES... in like it's the mid noughties. Bear in mind, it's a console that came out in the '80s. I think I've got 2008 in me, so I might be incorrect on that. But it was around. It was an astonishing. Like the only just after a while, they just went right, okay, because it's just naturally dying anyway. So we're not gonna continue to support and repair stuff. But you're dead right. I mean, the Nintendo are pricks, absolute pricks, and the biggest pricks in this whole industry for that, because of the backwards compatibility thing, and the fact that like the Mario games and the Zelda games and all that, they never come down in price ever. They just, you know what I mean?
You say that, but there is 33% off Odyssey at the moment.
Oh really? Bought that last week at full price. Motherfucker, just spent 50 fucking quid on Odyssey.
Yeah, it's like 30 something now.
Yeah, I couldn't live the rest of my life not knowing that. but yeah, the fact that you like, if they've not been there, so the GameCube wasn't great and didn't really have a great uptake on it, but they had the DS. That did do the business for them the whole time. The handheld market has been covering that
even
whole time.
Think back to Nintendo's strategy, interestingly, has been the same since the Game Boy. Game Boy, you think of what those consoles at the time, the Game Gear was well better graphically, it was well better. The Game Boy was like a stupid no backlit tinged green screen that was square, and you know, but they weren't bothered. No. You just went for
because you want to, you want to be able to play it, because the Game Gear lasted 3 minutes
on 6 batteries. On 6 batteries, and needed 4 batteries
and lasted 2 days or whatever. Yeah, no, you're dead right.
And they're just not bothered. And like I go back to Zelda again. You look at the graphics of Zelda; they're gorgeous. They can't compete, and they couldn't make it look like a PlayStation game. What they can do is they can change the design of it so that it doesn't matter how good the GPUs are.
You're dead right in it, because look at it, it's basically exactly. I've seen a side by side version with the Wii U version, there's no difference, basically. It's slightly greater draw distance or whatever, like, but you're dead right, it's not about that. Because this is what I'm saying about the advance and all this stuff. PC gamers, there's a conceit, and I apologise because Tom sat in the room and he's a PC gamer and he's well bought into this. I'm just going to shatter a few illusions. It doesn't really matter. You know, because it's just a conceit to sell better graphics cards and sell faster processors and do all this and that. But then you realise.
So who's your PlayStation, Paul? It's going to go 8K. Anyone got an 8K telly?
Exactamundo. So you're doing this.
Who makes 8K tellies?
Yeah, exactly. Sony.
Great. Oh, there you go.
You know, but you still got your you might have your HD ready TV or
which
monitor.
I have.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not good enough to show the image. I got a new telly on my original PlayStation 4, and it went, "Do you want to enable HDR mode?" I went, "Yeah." And I was like, "Oh my god, it's like I've been playing with cataracts for like the last 4 years."
It's like you've been playing with my
my eyes.
Honestly, literally, yeah, it's so great. But anyway, yeah, we yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see. I inevitably, I'll buy it because I'm totally and utterly brand loyal to Sony at this point. They've got me. I want to move on. I want to talk about things and something we want to do a little bit more on a weekly basis when we talk about this podcast. Now, you guys have presumably here because you've for some mad reason you've bought into us. We'll have a bit of a laugh, we'll talk about some daft stuff, we'll keep up to date with what's going on in the wider world and what have you, but we want you guys to get to, you know, to feel like you get to know us a little bit better. And I thought I'd got a good place to start. Well, not, I said good, a bit of a shit place to start, but I felt it was relevant for the
time.
It was
my page, to be honest.
This was going to be your page. It's 5 years, and as we all know, this will be Liverpool related to some extent, of course. It's 5 years since the Steven Gerrard slip. 5 years since Liverpool lost to Chelsea, since Liverpool ostensibly blew a chance at the league title, and it's 5 years since you went viral for a match reaction after the fact. Now, I'm setting the scene. Most people will be aware of this because it's become seeped into football culture over the last 5 years and what have you. But we put a match reaction up and you went on a rant about Chelsea.
They're all fucking mate. Every one of them fucking Chelsea bastards are fucking Mourinho down to fucking Torres.
Which was actually a very, very, which turned into a very, very intelligent piece of analysis about how good a manager Jose Mourinho is, etc.
I think we'd have done better if Willian, Hazard, fucking Oscar all played, because at least he'd have come to play the football. Yeah. But he came to fucking park the bus, and their one outlet was Demba Ba, and that's why he was fucking brilliant today.
Except nobody ever saw that because Vine. Because Vine existed, and we never really thought about this at the time, is that, and this is now what life is, of course, we still see examples of this on a daily basis. Somebody cropped up only the absolute worst of the worst of that.
And it was pretty bad, to be fair.
And it's pretty bad, to be fair, and put it out there. And I think it's fair to say that your life hasn't been the same since that point.
No, it hasn't. And listen, I am, you know, so many people meet me and reference that I've become defined by 7 seconds of words that came out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Which I think if anybody took a look at themselves, to think that you are defined by about 20 words, your entire life. You know, I was 31 at the time, I'm 36 now. I'm defined by about 20 words, and that's what people think I am and who people think I am. And that's not right. You know, we've done so much good stuff, both, you know, at Redmen and before Redmen and stuff like that, that to think that people just think of me as some kid who fucking spouted off about Chelsea, and to think that people think that I'm a homophobe because of that.
Yeah.
It's madness. It's madness, and it's maddening, more importantly.
And that's the thing, because we've gone through it, a period where we couldn't walk down the street or go to the match without someone just shouting it, and you've been boiled down, as you say, you're not a person. You become a meme in that regard. No one cared to know more. So it's like people do. Like people shout "aha," at Steve Coogan, and people shout "give it gigs here," and all that kind of stuff at the Andy Tate, that was his name. You know, people get boiled down to this, and that's just become a thing where, particularly when it's something that you're not proud of.
No, it's probably my biggest regret in life, to be honest. I think, you know, first of all, I offended people, and that was never, you know, you never go out there thinking that you're gonna offend a bunch of people and stuff. And, you know, listen, they're Chelsea fans, and, you know, I don't like their football club. Mm-hmm. But I think, like, it's not the same as Manx, where, you know, you've been brought up to have this rivalry with them and stuff like. And, you know, Kick It Out campaign obviously got in touch with us, and, you know, the club got in touch with us, and so many people have, you know, in fact, old friends of ours from LGBT Liverpool got in touch and sent me a terrible email. I don't even know whether I told you about that one.
So I remember the way it went at the time was, we put the, because this the worst thing about it is that it's my fault, because I sat there, I do the filming, do the edit, and take the videos, do all the thing, and I had the moments where we were gonna put it, and I thought, is that a bit too far? And there was a part of me that thought, I know it's not a great thing, but I mean, for God's sake, this is not defending it in any way, shape, or form.
people still singing Chelsea Rent Boys at football matches. It's not just Liverpool. It happens the length of breath. That doesn't excuse it, by the way. But, you know, we're only now coming, you know, it's mad to think it's only 5 years, but a lot culturally has changed in those 5 years as well. You know, the stuff that we would just bat out and go, whatever, it's just, you know, it's nanny state, so it's political correctness gone mad. People starting to go, hang on a second. If someone's telling me that is deeply offensive to a culture of people, well, you know what? I can probably live my life without using that yeah. expression, you know. We put it out, and I got, and it was because obviously Kick It Out had gone in touch with Liverpool, and basically within Liverpool there'd been an internal memo gone around and said, right, you know, no one said you must take this down or you must do whatever. And what we've had a couple of things down the years, particularly when we first started out, because we're not regulated, and we're an entity unto ourselves. We've gone through a learning curve. We've made mistakes or whatever. Yeah, we know a lot of people, and we've got a good set of friends and what have you. And I always find that if someone that I trust or respect in and around the world we've got, I get a text or get a phone call and say, you should probably have a look at that. And we got someone within Liverpool that we know had said, they'd gone, right, I know them, and they said, can you go and have a word? So I got the call, and he said, look, it's not gonna, you know, it's bad, you know, that there's a really bad negative connotations. And there was no hesitation on our part, because this was, of course, if you remember, 5 years ago was when fan cams were starting to be a big thing. I think Arsenal Fan TV had probably had a couple of really big hits yeah. at that point. That video had done a couple hundred thousand views in hours, and that could have been that one, you know, that could have been our big video, the way that Arsenal Fan TV, I'm not looking to dig Arsenal Fan TV out, by the way, on this, but there was no hesitation on our part. Someone said, no, that's really bad and it's deeply offensive. Okay, well, maybe we suspected, maybe we should have been more intelligent, fine, we cut it out. The problem we've had with it subsequently is that when something's viral,
it's gone.
It's viral forever.
You lose control of it. You can't wrap your arms around it anymore. And, you know, Vine was a big part of that. Twitter's obviously a big part of that. Leaving it on an end card was a big part of that.
Well, that was it. We took it down. And then it came. And the video that still exists largely, that's around the one, is the one with the mad board on. It's really weirdly distorted and stuff. Because it was, we used to put little clips in the end of the videos. And it took us another couple of days to clock onto, oh, shit, we've left that in there. So we had to go through and delete all that stuff. But, you know, I've spent 5 years like weeds sprouting up in your garden, deleting and content IDing on YouTube every single example of that, because it's not just because it embarrasses and all that, because that is a point, but we're better educated now. I don't want people to see it. I don't want people to, for the start, for your life, because that's fucking disgraceful, the stuff you've had to put up with, which we can come on to, but it shouldn't be allowed to be out there. You know, there should be, you know, guidelines that say, because it wasn't deliberately, but it is offensive, so it shouldn't be allowed to be, you know, if we want that to come down, we should be allowed to find a way to take it down. And yet, you know, it's now crossed over, it's become, you see it in still graphics of the team, and every time Chelsea do something, it's gone away from you.
Yeah.
To some extent. Sometimes it's just my voice
and all that type of stuff. But I've had death threats and all kinds of stuff over the back of it. And to be honest, it is embarrassing to me.
Yeah.
It's massively embarrassing, because I regret it. And I think if you regret something, you will always be embarrassed. I cringe when I hear my voice on that video, because yeah. I hear it so often. Like, yeah. And, you know, not only that, it's embarrassing to my family.
Yeah.
And I think that's the other point, isn't it? Is that, like, you know, back then I wasn't a parent. I'm a parent now. And I know, at some point, they're going to see that, my kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I had to have the conversation with my wife about it on the day that it happened. I was like, look, this has all happened, and my father-in-law, my parents and all this, you're going to see this stuff cropping up on Facebook that I've said and all this type of stuff. And I'm like, apologising to them. I had to go into work and apologise to my boss, because I was bringing his business into disrepute because he didn't want to be seen with it all and all that type of stuff. And obviously people then thinking that business that I was running at the time has those views and shares those views and stuff like that. So it just sort of crept into every facet of my life. But the one that, you know, now is, my kids are going to see that and they're going to, that's not a side of me that I want to show them, because it's not me anymore.
Yeah.
And I've changed since that.
The worst thing about it though is, because football culture is so, this like this toxic banter thing of like the one-upmanship, and it's the whataboutism. So Man City fans go on about Liverpool and the coach greeting, and then Liverpool fans have found that video of Man City fans throwing stuff at a coach from a couple of seasons before. Everything's got a counterpoint in the dangerous world with all this, because you had it. Someone tweeted you at the weekend having a go at why can you say those things outside the ground? Someone's thought you've literally just gone and done that, and that's the thing that gets lost in it. It's because it never goes away. There's no time stamp on this. People might be able to look at it and go, a few pounds lighter. You know what I mean? So it's a bit of time, a bit of time's passed
quite
or whatever.
A bit of time. Yeah. And quite a lot of McDonald's by the judging of things. Yeah.
But that's the thing, is that all context is gone from that. No one knows when it was done. And you see it now. Look at James Gunn. I mean, I know he's back on Guardians of the Galaxy 3. He got sacked for old tweets. Now, you know, some horrendous stuff that he said, but you know, by the by, you see people are getting pulled up for old tweets. Now that's different. You know, if you're going to go into a public sphere, I think maybe there's some degree of like, maybe go back and delete. If you know you've done some stuff, go back and delete. We've literally done everything in our power to try and expunge this from the universe, and it's out of our control. And yet it's something that, say you want to move away to something else, it's
a blot.
Yeah.
And it always will be. You know, there's times where I do think to myself, I wonder if I'm not getting opportunities because of something that I did 5 years ago. Yeah. You know what I mean? And one of those examples would be Pressbox for LFC TV. Yeah. You do it all the time.
Yeah.
No, they've never come to me and asked me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I do think that that's probably why.
It's funny because, and not funny, but what I mean in so much as you've got, look, we've been best friends now for, you know, nearly two decades. You're daft. You're an outgoing, funny, mad, interesting, and that's why people take to you. Like, we did this the pickup game with Jimmy Conrad the other week. People like you more than me because you're far more genuine, honest, outward facing person. But you're not just but also a very intelligent, very deep thinker on things. And what that did, once again, was it robbed you of that, and it created a character around yourself. Because look at it, if you saw, you're there, you've got your polo shirt on, and your veins bulging in your neck, you could be at an EDL rally, or you could be at whatever, you know, blonde hair, blue eyes, you know, in there with his angry face and his polo on. Like, and again, that the fact that people never got to see, more people will ever see that than got to see that, you know, you then doing a solid piece of analysis and stuff. And it's tough. And I just, you know, I would say to anyone watching, actually, you know, if you ever see examples of this, clarify, it's whether you agree with it or not, or whether you think it's brilliant or not, and loads of people think it's brilliant. And look, you can't tell people what to like and what not to like. But to use that expression is a homophobic slur, you know, and we should have known better. We all should know better. We know better now, and that's the positive to take from it.
Yeah, I when I said it at the time, I was trying to allude to the fact that the Chelsea players go there for money, and they'll go somewhere else for money.
Yeah.
And that's what I was saying, or what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't. I haven't. I've used the wrong words.
Yeah.
You know, there's been so many times over the years, Paul, where you have cut stuff out of videos when I've used the wrong words. Yeah. I do it a lot.
Yeah.
I do it all the time. You know, my brain runs away. My mouth runs away and forgets to tow the brain along.
Yeah.
Thankfully, you're really good at cutting those things out and stopping those hitting the thing. You know, we talked about it on the Red Men podcast this week about the flair getting thrown into the Chelsea fans and stuff. Mm-hmm. That is very much something that I would do.
Yeah.
You know, and I said at the time...
Well, just to qualify that with, like, you wouldn't go, I'm going to chuck this into the Chelsea fans, that premeditated thing.
If I had a flare in my hand, the likelihood of me putting it up and then going, great idea, lashing it, is very high because I'm a fucking idiot at the end of the day, and I don't think before I act.
Yeah.
And that's a problem that I've tried to rectify, but I'm still not there.
But I say this all the time. There's types of people, and there's people who I think are just genuine people, and they are the most admirable people amongst us in some respects, because there's no filter. You know, when you're getting people, they're just more honest. I always say, you can tell what's on your mind because it's written all over your face at all times. I'm a more calculated person than you, but there's people who don't like me because they feel they can see. Some people can see through that, and not that they can see through me to being an absolute gobshite or whatever. I mean, that's by the by, I am. But you know, is that there are people in this world who don't, and people who are more like me at times take umbrage with people who are like you, because we put ourselves in that situation. You think, well, why are you choosing to do that? Not realizing that you can get better at things, but and you can become more mature. But there are loads of situations where you don't think, and I make it sound like it's a bad thing. It's a bad thing and it's a good thing. It's a curse and a blessing. It means that you're more likable, more approachable. People want to be around people like that. But you'd have to stand up to the consequences. Is periodically you're just going to do fucking stupid things, and then like after the fact you go, oh God, why did I just? Why
like, did like I one of that? Our best mates, you know, his wife. This is a perfect example of this. I absolutely love her to bits. She's absolutely brilliant. I offend her every single time we sit down and have a chat.
Yeah.
You know, I do it all the time. And I don't mean to, but, you know, when I've had a beer, when I haven't had a beer, I just say the wrong things. And I never think to myself, what am I doing here? This is like the 10th time that she stormed out of a room that you're in.
But on the flip side, because I'm the other way, I find it fucking exhausting having to think about doing it the other way and having to overplan and think and filter what, you know, having to filter and make sure, having to run through fucking spell check, as it were, on every sentence that's going to come out of my mind to make sure that it's not, you know what I mean? There's a roughness mood on both sides, and unfortunately, you know, it can be good things and lead to amazing. Some of the stuff that you've done and you come out with, it's brilliant. It's why we're mates. It's why we work well as a partnership. You sweat the small stuff and I sweat the big stuff. We have different outlooks on life. We both do each other's heads in at certain things over ways that we are, but we both fundamentally are the way we are. The stuff that you do that I am blown away by your ability to go, a response to stuff on the spot. I'm that person who gets away and he's in the bath 12 hours later and goes, that was the perfect thing to say in that situation. That's how I should have been handling that. And, you know, there's rough and smooth with it. And I think, you know, bringing it back, say people are watching, you know, we've talked about this in various walks of life, in various different areas we've never really sat down and talked about before. What I would urge people to do, because there's an opportunity there, we've had a little look at the bits and pieces, and there are the stuff where it's obviously meant to be funny. What I'd say to people, and I've said this to close friends, whenever you see those crop up, it's not the fault of the people necessarily posting them, they might not know, but we've got to educate people on this. If you see it, report it. And get it down. It'll never go away, but if we can do something to making that not a thing anymore, you know, you're never going to get full control of it, but know that it's a dark stain on your life and on what we've done. And I hate the fact that it's something that we're ultimately associated with, when if we were given the choice, it would be gone forever and ever, ever. That's the cross that we have to live with, the cross that you have to live with. And, you know, I mean, there was a point, wasn't there, when you discovered the feature on Facebook of people who've sent you messages who aren't your friends.
Oh my days.
Like, you went, I've just discovered this is a thing. And it was like, oh dear God, Chris, don't open that. Don't open that Pandora's box. But the more you do stuff in the public eye, the more knobheads.
I'll tell you what, the more you realise why football interviews are shit.
Yes.
To be quite honest with you. And you know, you just can't say things because things are taken out of context, and some things aren't taken out of context.
Yeah.
And you know, and things are said badly and stuff like that. But the opening those Facebook messages was a bad thing. And, you know, it was only probably a year ago where I got to the point in my life where they stopped bothering me.
Yeah.
And it was actually doing a podcast and a video with James Orcott that changed all that for me. Because I'd lie awake at night, you know, I'd read 100 comments and 99 of them would be good. And I'd focus in on that one negative comment.
Yeah.
And think of that in 250 negative comments and what that does to a person's mental state when they're doing it. Now, I'm really fortunate in the fact that I haven't had any mental health issues in my life, and other people do have it, and it's an incredibly difficult thing to deal with. I'm fortunate that I haven't had that, and, you know, it hasn't taken me to that darker place. But what James said to me, he asked me the question, it was something along the lines of, what keeps you up at night? And I was just like, kind of not being liked, and these, like, you know, these negative comments are that.
Yeah.
And he boiled it down to this, like, he's like, have you got a circle? And I was like, yeah, of course I've got a circle. I've got my wife, I've got my kids, I've got my mum and dad, I've got my best mate, and a few other best mates that are in there and stuff. And he's like, why do you care what anyone else thinks? And it wasn't until someone just said it so simply to me that now it doesn't bother me. I can look at things and go, 5 minutes later, that's out of my head.
Yeah.
Whereas a year ago, I would be in a mood for days because of stuff like that.
But it does
like,
it, but it's that's the thing that people don't realise, and that's because, you know, when you become a character, not a human being, people don't realise that, yeah, you're sat on your own, on your todd, bored, on your couch on the bus, just looking to fill time. You might be with your kids, and, you know, we should all make a greater effort to not have our phones on us when we're with our kids, absolutely, and it's something I've, you know, I know we both tried to do. But all it takes is that one, and it literally, it's like someone walking over and whipping you up when you're in mid-stride in your day.
Yeah. Honestly, you can be there and, like, you know, sitting down playing, you get a notification, you look at it, and it's like these two people that you are responsible for, that you are enjoying your time with, has been blown up by a frigging message from someone that you don't know from the other side of the world that's just thought, I'm going to be a bit of a prick here. Yeah. And listen, I'm not faultless in this either.
No.
We used to go in chat rooms on MSN when we were young and do exactly the same to other people.
Yeah.
So I understand that. Like, but now, yeah, go through my Twitter, I don't do it. It's just not something that I do because I know the consequences of my actions nowadays in that regard, certainly. Yeah. And it just like, it's just that thing. I'm not saying, like, listen, don't banter with people and stuff like that. I'm not saying that. If you want to sound, if you think someone's an absolute cock, do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But just remember that, you know, I wouldn't want to walk into a room and just ruin your day for no reason.
Yeah.
And I think if you wouldn't do it to the face, don't do it at all. Like,
yeah, no, absolutely agree with that. Look, I that's the thing. I remember in the early days, you'd go, it's fine. And it probably was, because it was, you know, it can deal with it. But those things, it's like pouring paint on your soul. Like, you know what I mean? It just seeps in over time and it becomes more and more and more and it builds in. And the good thing that we made of this, because I remember saying to you at the time, you know, this was a thing, and we were at a pivotal juncture with Red Men at that time as well. We had our first studio out at the Dovedale Towers, and we were in a position where we it was just about enough for it to be, we could make a job for one person. And I said, right, let's try and turn this into a positive. Let's use this as a jumping off point, you know, because there's no point in you having to live with this if you're also working 50 hours a week, working in a restaurant and whatever. And that became the catalyst.
Yeah,
the catalyst for taking everything on and moving on. So I think we've managed to, in some regards, kind of use it in a positive sense. But yeah, it is very much, that's the, if I look back on it, I have key regrets in my life, and there's nothing worse, and this is hard, because this is not a oh woe is Paul situation, because you're the one who's had to really deal with the brunt of all this. But there's one thing to make bad choices in life that affect yourself and having to live with those consequences. I'm fine with that. Like I always say, I'm not a gambling man, but I'll bet on myself, and that works both ways. You live and die by the decisions you make. But when these impact people that you love, that's like it's like I say, it'd be my mission in life. If I had to sacrifice something genuinely good in my life, but I knew, like, I'd make a deal with the devil to be able to take that back or remove it from the world.
Don't sacrifice the Premier League. It's not worth it.
Okay, as long as you're cool with that, that's your decision.
It's fine.
As long as it's your decision, that's absolutely
fine.
No, brilliant. But yeah, thanks everyone for getting involved. And if you do see it, please do report. Please do report. Let's try and get as much of this gone as possible. There's only so much we can do, of course. And, you know, again, I understand people think it's hilarious and all that, but I think we're starting to see more and more, you know, where the culture change. You know, we're 10 years away from Chris Moyles calling things gay on Radio 1, and in a jokey manner. That's how people talked not a decade ago. Christ, we're only like 30 years away from people being chemically castrated for having different sexually preferences. The world moves on pretty fast. I don't want this to be a millstone moving into the future. Right, feature to wrap up on, Chris. Agony Uncles, we want you, the viewers and listeners, if you've got problems in life, you've got things that you want advice on. Now listen, we're two men, we've just been through some interesting situations in our life. We've survived 36 years, nearly 37 this year for Chris.
You're a month younger than me to the day, and yet for the last 20 fucking years I've had to hear that from January the 1st until fucking December the 31st.
Chris is 37 this year, I'm not 37 till next year. It's an important difference. But yeah, you know, we bought houses. You bought two different houses. We've had, you know, mortgages. We've seen our children come out of vaginas that were very partial to.
Terrifying
experiences. We've managed to keep those children alive for a period of time.
Don't go the cop end.
We've set businesses up. We've run businesses. We've been through all these things. Just to kick things off, have you got a piece of life, just apropos of nothing, a piece of generalised life advice you want to hand out? Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, I think. I mean, I've got one, but I used it a long time ago on a quick fire round, so maybe I won't use that. Maybe we can put that one in if we can dig that bad boy up. I am so sorry, Tom.
What was it?
Oh, we'll have to dig it up and find out.
Okay, cool. My one, I got my student loans statement through this week.
Yeah. I'm done this year, Paul.
Still owe just shy of £10,000 on my student loan. I left university 15 years ago. I put this on Instagram. That is the most expensive piss-up I've ever been on in my entire life, and I'm still paying for it to this day. So my solid piece of life advice, and I know it's hard, and I am a massive hypocrite, but don't do it like I did it. I went to uni because my engagement in scholastic activities was just on a downward slope from the moment I finished my GCSEs, basically. And I met you. I became friends with you midway through my A-levels, and that was the final nail in the coffin. And it's telling that having got two Ds and two Es in A-levels, I got the best results out of our group of friends because we spent most times just hanging around in parks and climbing trees and playing footy and doing other things
I remember the night before our maths A-level, me and Steve Pye done about 8 Guinness in a snooker hall.
I remember being in the middle of revising and you just knocking on my door and going, do you want to come to the park and climb trees? And I went, yeah. And we went, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm going to the park to climb trees. And they're like, why? And I'm like, because, and funny line, anyone ever watched Angel, from Buffy and Angel fame, there's a scene where these lawyers are all in a basement and there's vampires in there and someone says, they're going to kill us. And he says, you know what, I just can't seem to care, and shuts the door on them.
Brilliant.
And I used that line, and as I was sat on the floor of our school with my A-level, my awful A-level results clutched in my tear-soaked hands, I couldn't help but think of that line and what a massive bellend I was. But I got worse as I went to uni. I just went away to uni to get away from Liverpool and have a laugh, and I just used to sack lectures off. And here's a great tip, is that basically work out how much it costs to be at university, work out how many lectures you have in a year, and divide that cost down to work out how much each lecture is costing you. And so every time you don't go to that lecture, imagine that amount of money being set on fire in your hand. We set these lights up for this, by the way. I had lighting classes at university and I didn't go to them. So I've had to learn. So this is lit terribly. It's because I basically spent loads and loads of money to learn how to light and then didn't go to the class. And now I have to fucking deal with the consequences of not having very well lit content because I'm a fucking idiot. So solid life advice, if you're going into higher education, either do it or don't do it. You don't need it.
Do you know the thing that on the
but if you do it, do it right.
For me, I wasn't old enough to go into higher education.
Mature enough.
I wasn't mature
enough.
You were
old enough. You weren't mature
I was
enough.
Old enough, yeah. I wasn't mature enough. And I think a lot of people would be like me in this, in that I think actually going and getting a full-time job for a couple of years will give you a bit more of an impetus to do well in university. Now, if you're watching this, and you know, we broke down before the differences between me and Paul as a person, and if you're a little bit more like me on that, and you're thinking of going into higher education, go and get a full-time job, see how fucking shit it is,
yes,
for the most part,
shit,
right?
Really shit.
And then go and go to university and see how boss it is, but do it properly and treat university like a full-time fucking job. Go, you might have eight hours of lectures. Do 40.
Yeah.
You're going to walk away with a first and a fucking job that you really enjoy at the end of it. And that would be my life advice. I went for a year. I didn't turn up until around about the February. Nobody thought I'd gone to that university, right? So from September to February, and I turned up one day in a lecture and they were like, we just assumed you went to a different university and no one told us, right? So I didn't go in at all. Failed first year, obviously. Resat it. Was actually treating it quite well and doing quite well. And I missed an email that said my exam had been moved forward in like whatever it was, maybe the December, an hour, and they wouldn't let me through the doors. And like an absolute tit,
a hissy fitted, went home, packed all my bags up, phoned my ma and said I'm coming home, and left. Then and there, didn't tell anyone, I just did it. I didn't, like, I spoke to a couple of people that I was mates with there and stuff like that, and I never went into higher education again, like.
No.
So just go and do a little bit of something in your life first, and absolutely go and fucking travel.
Yeah.
Travel before you get ties, because it's another big regret of mine is just, you know, not being able to go and do a year abroad.
Yeah.
And, like, I absolutely would love to do that more than anything, and I can't now, it's just not possible.
Absolutely. Brilliant. Well, yeah, thank you very much. That has been the very first Mate and Page App podcast. If you enjoyed it, drop a like, share it with your friends, share it with the world. If you're listening to it on any audio platforms, give it a review, give it the best possible review it can have. It always helps get us up the top.
So you need me to set up an audio platform for this? Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you. We love you guys. Make sure you subscribe to the channel if you've not done already, and any type of content suggestions, any type of things outside of the office you want to see us go and do, we've got some mad ideas lined up. But is there any situations, life situations, that you want to plonk us into, let us know in the comments. Other than that, thank you very much, everyone. Take it easy.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.